You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the weekend, Hungary held its 2026 general election, which saw the largest voter turnout in Hungary's history as a democratic state. The electrified populace delivered a landslide victory for the relatively new Respect and Freedom Party, securing them a two-thirds majority in parliament. Incumbent Prime Minister Viktor Orban has lost power after 16 years. For some younger voters, he is the only Prime Minister they can remember. Orban has been a controversial figure throughout his long political career. To some, he is a power-hungry authoritarian who stood in the way of European unity. To his supporters, which include US President Donald Trump, he is precisely the kind of powerful leader that a country like Hungary needs. This morning, I spoke to Chris Ogden, Professor of Global Studies at Auckland University, about what Orban's defeat means for the future of global authoritarianism. 1 week ago, US Vice President J.D. Vance visited Hungary, where he held a press conference and endorsed Orban's re-election campaign. Trump has also publicly expressed his support for Orban many times. Do you agree with the commentators who say that the endorsements by Trump and Vance actually worked against Orban?
It's possible to a degree. Certainly would seem that international sentiment towards the United States and Trump itself is waning. But at the same time, I think there are distinct domestic angles. Orban had been in power for a very long time, clearly authoritarian in nature, clearly attacking civil society in lots of different ways. But certainly, whatever happened, he still lost by a landslide.
So you've said that Orban's electoral defeat may pose a threat to what you call the global MAGA movement. I'm going to give you a list of foreign leaders who have endorsed Orban, and then I'm going to ask you to comment. So we've got, obviously, Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, Benjamin Netanyahu, Giorgia Meloni of Italy, Javier Milei of Argentina, Jose Antonio Kast of Chile, among many others. So do you view all of these leaders as part of what you call a global MAGA movement? And if so, what beliefs or interests do they all have in common? Other than being on the political right, what is particularly similar about the way they see the world and the visions they have for their respective nations?
So I think the biggest commonality is they're all very conservative. They're all pro-American. They're all authoritarian in nature and action. So that means using the rule of law for their own ends. That means attacking civil society. That means attacking electoral rights. And all of that is leaning away from what you could consider to be the kind of liberal world order based upon shared values, rule of international law, these kind of factors. So I think that's what would bind them together. I think it's difficult to say that they're a very kind of distinct, unified group, but I think more kind of they're on that end of the international spectrum.
Is Vladimir Putin pro-America?
I don't know if it's instinctively about being pro-American. I think it's more about their attitude towards the international system. So you can certainly see the US president, for example, attacking international law, trying to sidestep certain multilateral institutions. You could say the same is true for Vladimir Putin. You could say the same is true for some of the other leaders that you mentioned. So I don't think it's necessarily about kind of seeing them as a unified bloc or being pro-America or pro-this or pro-Trump. I think it's more the kind of worldview that they're projecting and also a rejection of many of the core pillars of the current international order.
These are all leaders who some of the harshest critics would say, you know, have fascist tendencies. Do you think that's too strong a word to use about these kinds of leaders, including Orban?
I think certainly highly autocratic. They all want centralized power. They all, to some degree, I mean, maybe not Meloni, but they all, to some degree, have a kind of cult of personality around them. And that certainly can be regarded as fascist. There is also certainly evidence in all of those countries of a kind of partnering or a co-option of oligarchs. That's also a sign of fascism. So in many ways, I think that that could be a fair explanation.
So from the point of view of European security, one of the most significant results of this election is the money that will become available for Ukraine.
I would say that the biggest impact for the European Union is that Orban has been seen to be pro-Putin, or at least anti-EU. So this will act internally to remove that roadblock. So we might be able to see a much more cohesive European foreign policy. That could extend to Ukraine, it could extend to other issues.
You say that despite Orbán's loss, his 16 years in power has been a boost for global authoritarianism. In your view, what are the main long-lasting effects of Orbán's time in office, and what would it take to undo the damage?
So certainly, the longer someone's in political office, the greater change they can have upon society. So if you think for the average kind of 20-year-old, a kind of average student at the University of Auckland, they'll have had their whole life under Viktor Orbán. This does something psychologically to a population in terms of how they think, what they expect, how they're educated, how they regard the government, how they regard the law, rule of law. And we shouldn't forget that Viktor Orbán was in power for a long time because people supported him. So that suggests something deep down within that society, that there's a kind of dedicated group that thinks autocracy to some degree is a good idea. In terms of overcoming it, certainly the incoming leader's got a supermajority. Certainly they've got lots of power to overturn things that Orbán's done. This could relate to kind of freeing up freedoms of the press, for example, more freedoms of expression within universities. And certainly I think that those things will happen. But again, it's in a kind of enculturation effect. So it will take quite a long time for the adjustment to come back. And I think it's too simple to say, well, Orbán's gone, Hungary just naturally goes back to democracy. And then as to your wider point, Orbán in many ways was at the vanguard of the kind of new wave of autocracy, or some people kind of call it a third wave of autocracy, showing you how to do it if you have such kind of tendencies. So that's why he's been a kind of poster child for MAGA, but also kind of conservative or autocratic regimes across the world. And certainly just because he's gone doesn't mean that the lessons of what he's done have also gone. So I think for any kind of wannabe autocrats out there, there'll always be a kind of Orbán playbook to copy.
We should also talk about the incoming Prime Minister. While Orbán's defeat is significant, his replacement does not represent a radical shift to the left by any means. Up until 2 years ago, Peter Magyar was himself a member of Orbán's party, where he was described as a powerful insider. The party which he now leads is considered ideologically conservative and centre-right. So with that in mind, are we likely to see much change at all?
Yeah, this is a really great observation. So I think one of the biggest things that we've got to think about in global politics is that the centre ground itself has shifted to the right. So that's why we end up talking about far right becoming normalised, because that centre ground is kind of closer to the far right now. And that's often why left parties are now castigated as being far left. So certainly that suggests ideologically he's got roots within Orbán's party. That means he was there for 14 years or all the time that Orbán was doing all of these things. So there's a definite risk that he is kind of Orbán light, as it were. And really, only time will tell in terms of what he really does. But certainly, the overall trend is that politics itself, like that kind of rightwards kind of turn, is becoming much more normalised. So in a way, we shouldn't really expect fundamental change.
That was Professor Chris Ogden, Programme Director for Global Studies at the University of Auckland.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.